welcome to another episode of Cedars in Lebanon. First of all, take this sincere and very humble apology and deep apology from me for going off the grid for a week. We really apologize on behalf of myself. I apologize to those who checked up. Thank you so much. God bless you. So, like I said, welcome to another episode, another fireful episode of Cedars in Lebanon. This episode is phew, poof. It's going to this episode is going to seriously bless you. I know that we say this every episode, like this episode will bless you, but I don't want it to become something that, you know, we say and you just is for you, is just, you're just going to take it as something that, you know, she always is going to bless us. But please, please, for real, it's actually going to bless you. And the way to get blessed from this episode and every other subsequent episode and past episodes is to listen with all your heart and try to do everything that is contained in it by the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sorry for that long intro. Anyway, today's episode is titled Abraham, Friend of God. It's going to be sort of different from the normal episodes that we do have because it's sort of like a case study where we get to study the life of a patriarch in faith, literally the man who defines faith in the Old Testament, or one of the men who defines faith in the Old Testament. And today there's someone very special who's going to help us, should I say dissect now, to delve into this topic and into the life of this man. And her name is, okay, please ma, introduce yourself. I'm sorry, I was about to help you.
Okay, hello everyone, my name is Ubamara Okoli. I'm a second year student at the Rodin University, Moscow. I am a child of God, I love God, and I'm a growing Christian as well. God is taking me on a journey of learning so much about Him. Aww. And I'm really glad to have what I have. I'm glad to be able to learn from people who have gone ahead of me in the faith and to be able to learn valuable lessons from them. And it is a privilege that I am here today. I have mentioned it to Precious that I'm actually really surprised that I'm here, but I really thank God, and I know I am here for a reason, and I pray the Holy Spirit has His way even in this episode. And I pray for everyone who's going to listen to this, I pray you are thoroughly blessed. Amen. And you're not listening to this as a mistake. Mm-hmm. God has actually purposed for you to be here, so I would advise you to prayerfully listen to this episode, because I am sure that God is going to teach you a lot. Yeah, thank you, Precious.
Amen. Thank God. Amen. Jesus, you said prayerfully listen. Hey, where are my men of prayer and women of prayer? Please prayerfully listen to this episode. Honestly, seriously, it's really, 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 really going to bless you. I mean, it's the life of a person. I think one of the things that I actually do, I love, I know, I say it a lot, I hate history. As a subject, I don't like anything history. I don't like learning about the wars, I don't like caring about the years, I don't want to know. But I've learned that there's actually, it's that type of history I hate. The history I like is history of men's lives. I like reading biographies. My God, it's too beautiful, because I can see my life in this person. Like, I can see, oh, how I'm starting right now is literally, there's something, I mean, I can see that, oh, the struggles I face, they faced it too. Yeah. Or the things that I'm going through, I'm not alone. I know that I'm not the only one going through this. And I can see the mistakes that they made, and I know that I'm not supposed to make this too. Mm-hmm. And, oh God, I really, really enjoy reading biography. If you ever hear me drop one or two names and you don't know who they are, it's because I've gone on a trip. I've entered into like my own rabbit hole of just searching, like, and just coming to know like certain people. And not just people in the Bible now, but also men that have lived in our own recent times, whether alive or dead. I just like, God, I can't keep going. But I just like hearing stories. I like someone to tell me something that happened in their life. Tell me, oh my God, they went through this. Oh my God, oh, actually, human being did this. Like, it's amazing. So Abraham,
Yeah.
I mean, we know that the Bible does not tell us everything that has to, that everything that happened in the life of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly believe that there's so much. There's so much more. Abraham's one of those people whose hands we should hold when we get to heaven. Like, sir, come on.
Jesus.
Yes. Seriously. Yeah. So when you think about Abraham, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
When I think about Abraham, I think the most prominent thing off my head is how he was just someone that obeyed. Like, God says something, I just do it. Which is not normal, to be very honest. It's not normal. Because in this world that we live today, there are a lot of limitations. There are a lot of things that contend with your faith. So, for God to say something, and there's always, for me, there's always that phase of God says something. Even though I know it's true, and I believe it's true, there's always that little, I don't know why it's like that, there's always that little phase of, is this really true? Yeah. Am I sure? Then it will now come to that phase of acceptance. But I feel like Abraham was that person that God says something and the next verse or the next chapter, he's already doing that thing. There's no, he's not recorded at all.
And Abraham.
And Abraham questioned God or I doubted or he thought about it. Like, there was never that loophole in his life. And I think that's a beautiful thing that Abraham had in his life.
That's really, really true. He was such an obedient, he was very obedient to God, and I think that also stems from a place of faith. Like, he, I mean, there's a whole chapter in Hebrews that almost, all the verses, but almost all the verses talk about the faith of Abraham. Yeah. And also in Romans 4, from verse 19 to 20, it actually says that, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. This is talking now about, like, when the Lord told him about Isaac, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. One of the things that I remember, someone actually said this many years ago to us when we were in secondary school, and the person said, like, and it sounds so pastoral, it was very powerful. The person said that one of the things that was so significant about Abraham was his belief in the promises of God. Like, he, you know, it's easy to see something before you believe it, or to see, okay, this is the track record, of God, so I can believe in what he has done. But Abraham, not seeing, thank you.
No evidence,
no proof, nothing whatsoever. He just blindly, if God has said it, he would do it. Even his wife laughed.
Sorry for the laugh.
No problem. She laughed because she was like, what do you mean? But Abraham, like, not leaning on unbelief. So I think that obedience was also from a place of faith. Actually, there's a part in the Bible, I don't remember where, that actually says that the reason why Abraham was able to go to the mountain to sacrifice Isaac was because he believed that God was going to
provide.
No, raise him up.
Raise him.
He believed that God was going to raise Isaac up from the dead.
But where did that thought come from?
Like, I have no idea. How did he think about
it? Because we don't see, like, Jesus hadn't come then. Exactly. So there was no way
he would have. Wow. That even sheds more this thing to the faith of Abraham. Was not normal.
He was not normal. I thought.
Seriously, and I think that's so beautiful. Like, and I think that's the reason why God was even able to call him his friend. Like, who is your friend?
Friend is someone you've come to understand and you've come to trust.
Yeah, I actually do agree. Someone you've come to understand and come to trust. And you do know that no matter whatever, however, this person is still going to. That's actually trust, you know, this person is still going to be here for me, like, when I call. And God, Abraham was that person to God. I mean, that's heavy.
That's deep.
That's deep. That's really, really deep. Wow. I've been settling on that for a while. Because, honestly, many of us, I'm a friend of God, or God's Abba's best friend.
Abba's beloved.
Yeah, but when the Lord comes knocking, when he comes asking of a certain thing, my friend, will you do this for me? And we have a list of excuses already ready. Like, it's actually challenging. Seriously, it's a challenge to every single one of us, including me, myself. Myself, yeah. Because it's really something to think about. There's a man that God could actually go to. You just remember that 911 song by Dara Simi and Lawrence Oil.
Yeah, I don't remember the lyrics right now, but I remember listening to it.
Yeah, like there's a man that God could call on, and he knew that this man, whenever I called upon him, he would answer. Okay. Even speaking about this, I remember a part of Abraham's story where he was asking, he was interceding, was it for Sodom?
Okay, when God told him about his plan to destroy Sodom, and then he was asking, oh, if there are 50 people, 50 righteous people,
yeah.
And then he kept asking. Is that what
you said? And you kept saying, sorry to bother you.
Yeah. Like, my Lord, if I may.
Oh, God. So, like, from that part of scripture, what would you say?
I think the fact that God was able to tell Abraham his secret plans.
Yeah.
Like, his secret plans. And I think that happened after the angels came to his house and attended to them. And one of them stayed back and conversed with him. And then God began to tell him about Sodom, about the things that he was going to reign. So that just shows trust.
Yeah.
Like trust, like I'm confiding in you in the things that I'm about to do. And yeah, I think that's the most...
That's actually just from me. Yes, exactly. Like, that's so true. I remember the scripture that said that the secrets of the Lord are with those that fear him. And it's just so deep. Like, hey, nations, God was... I'm sorry. That's the way I think. I'm sorry. But God was literally deciding on what to do about a people and a nation. And he came to one man
to tell. He didn't even tell a lot.
Thank you. He came to one man. And the thing about Abraham actually had such a heart of love. I think that's another thing I see from that place. Yeah. Like, he had such a heart of love. He kept saying... So if peradventure, you see 50 people, I don't remember how many he started with.
I think he started with 50.
50, and right? And then he said 45. Down. If you see 10, and the Lord was just like, if I see 10, I will not destroy.
And the fact that, you know, he knew Lot was in that land. And how, like, when I was reading the book of Abraham, I think one thing that stood out to me is that, like, there was no strife. Okay, there was strife between the people, Lot's people and Abraham's people.
Yeah.
But, like, between, he did not
hold
it to heart. Because you could see that when there was this king that raided Sodom and took
king
Lot.
He
took literally everyone in his house and pursued after him. And you could see him interceding for Sodom because I think he knew... That Lot was there and he didn't want him to be affected. And that's deep. Like, the fact that you separate from people and you don't
and
hold...
Still,
he still had that heart for him, that this is his nephew. He still loved him and, he still cared for him. That's a lesson for me.
It's even deep because, actually, even that same Lot... Actually, Lot. Check Lot. Lot. It was even that same Lot that he had that this thing with the land. I think that's what Stephen first started there.
Yes.
This thing. Because he had issues with the land. And he was going back and forth on a particular land with Lot. Yeah. And that's when God was like, you know what, Abraham, leave this. Yeah. Look as far as you can see. I will give to you.
It's how Lot thought he was wise.
She said how Lot thought he was wise.
That's one thing with humans. Like, it just reminds me of the verse of the Bible that says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but that way is destruction.
Yeah.
Like, upon, he everything. Did a careful, like, he looks... And he still came up with rubbish.
Yes, like, it's true. That's really true. Yeah. Another thing that we can actually see from that Abraham's this thing is he was an intercessor.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, yes, he had love in his heart, but then he did not... It was not just, oh, I love them, but he was also an intercessor. Okay. Like, he was the person who went to God on behalf of
them.
Behalf of them. Like, I can't just imagine God coming in the cool of the night, Abraham, tomorrow.
I'm going to destroy these people. They have done evil in my sight. And
he could have said, oh, I don't live there.
It's not yes, my business. Thank you. Exactly. It's that's my business. That really, like, really shows okay, his heart.
God, just, you know, they are evil people. Just destroy them.
Like Jonah. Like Jonah. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. But yeah, it was just, yeah. Then he was like, if you find how many men, if yeah. you find, if you find. Like, he was really, really insistent and yeah. kept interceding for those people. So he had such a heart of an intercessor. Abraham mm. was such a
in our lives today. Okay, mm-hmm. let me not go too far. Please my go. Own life. Yeah. Oh. Please go. I remember times when I would be like, God is helping me, but mm-hmm. I know I can be such a it's not my business person, like
mm-hmm.
just mm-hmm. have sense. Like I was telling someone today of how, like, God is really helping me,
mm-hmm.
especially in this like passion for souls and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so easy to see people and you're like, this person's supposed to know what they are doing now, like mm-hmm. they're supposed to know what to do, yeah. but
mm-hmm.
sometimes you have to actually take up people's matter on your hands. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to really, really go down on your knees and pray mm-hmm. for people, because mm-hmm. sometimes the person, their force is like
yes,
after the lives of people, so it
them.
takes
mm-hmm.
yeah, it takes like a whole new level of prayer to actually mm-hmm. help people. So it's yeah. just that, like, the passion to pray for people, the passion to actually love people enough
mm-hmm.
to pray for them is something that I'm actually praying to God for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important. Like, very, it's easy very to important. To think about your own affairs and forget. Yeah.
Mm, that's really, really true. I really like that you related it to souls, because our Sodom right now is
the world.
Is the world, literally. Because every single thing that Sodom did, I think right
that's
now we're doing something.
Maybe worse.
At least seven times worse. Seriously, the earth right now is seven times worse, if not more. That is going on. So our own Sodom, if we're going to say what Abraham's in our generation,
mm.
our Sodom is literally the souls that are perishing. It's not even the like, do they know, I mean, like you said, do they know they are supposed to have sense or mm. this. They are literal forces against
people,
like the prince of this world. Literally
has literally blinded
their eyes. The Bible actually says that the very elect will fall in this last, like it literally takes it to another level. So I think that, like you said, it's really, really, really important to just have that heart, like, not the oh, it's not my business. They tell you pray for Brazil and you're like, do I live there? I don't know anyone there.
Are you praying for me?
thank you. Well, they tell you to pray for Christians in China and you're just like, oh, no shito. But truly, to have that heart of love to the point that you are literally constantly interceding, oh God, please help me. It's something I actually need, because seriously, to actually stand in the gap for people.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham was an intercessor. It looks like we're not even going to the real, because when you ask people about Abraham, first thing they think about is, oh, the sacrifice, like for Isaac and all that. It's like, we're going to, because there are actually many other lessons in his life apart from that sacrifice for Isaac. Okay, there's another part of Abraham's story that is also really fascinating. That's from Genesis 14, right? When he talks about when the whole thing happened, the taking of captive, the everything, and Abraham shall won. Abraham shall won. So, I mean, in those days, when you win a war, this was also saying King Saul, but the issue with Saul was Saul took, God said, kill everything, and Saul said, I want to offer sacrifice.
Yeah,
yeah. Funny story. Anyway. One thing about so in those days, when you win a war or something, you take the spoil and you take the everything, the people, everything is your inheritance, and you have taken it onto yourself. And so what happened was, Abraham, I think he had defeated them. He had defeated that king of Elam. Yeah. Was it Elam?
Yeah,
the king of Elam. And so he was supposed to go and give a tithe. Oh, rather, he went to Melchizedek, somehow came on scene, and he gave a tithe to Melchizedek, which is very fascinating because that's titan, literally. That's very
deep. He gave a tithe.
Yeah.
And this was the first place in the Bible where tithes was mentioned, right?
Yeah. But you know something very fascinating.
Oh.
Recently, I just got to discover this through someone. I heard someone speaking and I was like, that is so true. The very first time that tithing was initiated actually was from the Garden of Eden.
In what?
Anyway. I know it sounds weird. How? A tithe, what's a tithe?
A tenth of.
Tenth of your earnings or your income. The person was like, God placed Adam in the garden and said, everything is yours but this.
One tree.
Yeah.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it. It's just like your tithe. Everything is yours. Your 90% is
something
yours. Yeah.
Have
but
to
there's something
it.
You have to, okay. That belongs to me.
Wow.
And the person was like, that's the first time. That's where tithing started.
Wow.
I was like,
I've never seen it that way before.
Thank you. Me too. I was like, oh, that's fascinating. Yeah. But apart from that, this is actually the first time that tithing was
mentioned.
To think that someone, how did he,
how did
you see?
This man is so...
He was literally in God's heart. He's, yeah. Anyway, where I'm going to is when the king of Sodom told Abraham that, you see, these are my men, give them to me, and I'll give you the goods. You can take the spoil, you can take the everything. But these men, they are my men, please, they are my people. Let me have them, but you can take the goods. And Abraham said, like, this is one of my favorite parts of scripture ever in the Bible. And Abraham said, in verse 22, he said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a tread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I should make, and
I have made
Abraham rich. Like, ha! Jesus. I read this verse and I'm like, Jesus. That's another angle. Because actually, you would think the goods
matter to him.
But he said that no man, God forbid, that any man should say that they are the reason for my...
Oh. Yeah.
God. As in, like, he, like
let
that
no man
anyone,
take the glory.
Let no man take the glory. I read this verse, I'm like, no, Abraham. I think apart from the sacrifice of Isaac, this is another thing about Abraham that really fascinated me. He did not... He said, I've lifted up my hand to possess heaven and earth. Like, God forbid. You, king of Sodom, no. Like, no man should be able to say that I made Abraham who he is.
Hmm.
Let no man be able to say that, yes.
What's that word people use? Or maybe I'm self-made.
Thank you.
Or something.
What? You're self-made? Who made you?
Who made you?
Yeah, like, so something like that. Like, Abraham, he made sure that there was no man that was able to lay claim on his life apart
not
from
even
God.
Himself.
Not even himself.
That's deep.
That's
another angle.
That's really, really deep. And that's one thing about this Abraham story that completely blows my mind. I am just like, God. A man that can honor God to such an extent.
Okay.
Like, he just, I love this part of Abraham's story.
That's deep.
It's really deep.
And I could see that the only reason why he even went after those kings was because of Lot.
Again. Ah, this Lot. Why didn't we hear about the end of Lot, though? Like, seems like Lot is really... Lot. Abraham had such a love for him.
Yeah, he did.
It was his nephew.
Yeah, he was his nephew. His brother's son.
Abraham had such a love for him. I don't know. Okay, so let's talk about Abraham's... Should I say talk about weaknesses? I won't talk about his marriage, but let's talk about his weaknesses.
Okay, when I was reading the scriptures, like,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't categorically say Abraham had a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we talk of weaknesses in our world, you're talking about that part of people's lives that is, like, a loophole,
yeah,
a turn in the flesh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Abraham, for me, he didn't really have
mm-hmm.
a weakness. I think he had a shortcoming, maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
And the only one I could come up with or I could think about was the part where God had told him his seed would come from his body.
Mm-hmm.
And he believed God. But then when Sarah suggested that he gives, he sleeps with the maid, he just did it I don't know, like, God didn't, okay, the fact that God told him that, oh, your seed will come from your body, maybe if he didn't understand it enough, he could have asked God, like, God, what do you mean in detail? Like, is it with, is it with Sarah I'm going to have this seed with, or I feel like he didn't find out from God enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he just did what he thought
God meant. Yeah.
And I think that was a shortcoming in his life.
Mm.
I think that was the only one I could think of. And I think, like you said, his phlegmatic nature, yeah, when he saw that wrong was being done to Hagar,
yeah,
he couldn't speak up for her. And I don't want to say he was supposed to be a man, but he could have done something. He couldn't. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't have just left Sarah to deal with her, mm-hmm, the way she wanted. I feel like he should have stood up more or taken more responsibility for Hagar. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's really deep. Yeah. Yeah, and I think what you said about the, yeah, about him not finding out enough, like how God said, you have a seed out of your own body. I think that's actually really deep. I actually have not seen it that way before. Yeah, that he probably did not find out enough from God. Like, he had heard the promise of God. And actually, it even goes to show how human he is.
Yeah.
That though he was someone who, you know, God sees and I do and all of that, he was also human in that
he made mistakes as well.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like that part is also necessary, because if he didn't have that part, we would have said this man is
perfect.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, which is Jesus. Yeah, yeah, it's true. So that's really true. I think another thing that I would say was one of Abraham's weakness too, and this one might be a little bit testy, I don't know, was he, I don't want to call it fear, I think it also even is this thing, is even if evidence what you said about, like, look at the two times that he, why did he do that, that with Sarah? I won't call it, I don't know whether it's fear or deception or, I don't even know what to call it.
Where was he always, Sarah? That
he was causing always, yeah. No, like, I mean, with the kings now.
Yeah.
Like,
why was he always, just say,
she's your wife? What happened? Like, honestly.
And it happened two times.
Twice. Like, man of God.
Is that like a fear or something?
I don't know. Should I say, I don't know. Was he, what? I actually want to wonder, what did he think they were going to do with her, to her? Was he trying to protect himself or protect her? You can't tell. Lord, I have respect for Abraham, please. I'm saying this one. But, like, I don't know. I wonder. He actually makes me wonder.
Because at the end of finding out that she's his wife.
Exactly. And I mean, I think the Lord even saw that this man, what's this man's problem? He went to one of the kings and was like, you're a dead man. He actually told Abimelech, you're a dead man. The woman in your bed is not, she's married to another man.
And he closed the wombs of, like,
everyone in their house.
Because of
somebody.
God has even helped him.
Seriously. I think about, like, okay, Abraham, all right. Succeeded in getting a whole generation barren, okay. No, I'm just kidding, please. But yeah, like, it's really moving.
Something that just came to my head now is how, even in his weakness, the hand of God was still upon him.
Yeah.
God literally had his backing, like,
as in,
nothing must happen to your own, like,
yeah.
Wow. Wow, hey. The hand of God.
The hand of God. Yeah, truly, like, actually, now we're thinking about it. Like, God, the whole, as in, God.
And the first time, God literally sent a plague to the house of Pharaoh because of him.
Because of him. The second time, he's closing the wombs of women. Like, he did not sleep with Sarah.
He did not, yeah.
Immediately he heard that this is his wife. He said, okay, stand up. He said, why didn't you? Seriously, he actually immediately obeyed. I mean, literally immediately obeyed. And Lord's God, truly, Abraham was a friend of God.
Yeah.
Truly. That's all I can say. Like, Abraham was truly a friend of God. Like, for God to have his back like that.
Sheesh.
Wow. Anyway, well, that's really deep. And I think the last thing that I would say before I would say, another thing that I would say is also worthy of note is the most obvious thing about Abraham, the one that everyone seems to
talk about.
Remember and talk about when we talk about Abraham, is the sacrifice. And Isaac, how Abraham had killed Isaac in his mind before Isaac even I remember poor Isaac. He literally, he had let him go in his mind before he started climbing that mountain. Seriously, how he was willing to sacrifice for God. To DT. I say he is the voice of an angel that stopped him. Because I dare say Abraham literally would have killed that man, that boy that day. Seriously. So I think it also goes to show how many of us, we always have an Isaac. This is something that's
Just remember that drama.
Oh,
you're the one that asked.
Yeah, that's true. And it goes to speak of consecration too. Like, you have an Isaac. There's something that the Lord requires of your hand. You're out there saying, Lord, I want to do this for you. Or, Lord, do this for me. I want to be your friend. I want to do this. Tell me things. Reveal this to me. And the Lord is telling me, is telling you, I'm telling me too. This is what you need to lay down for me. This is what I require of your hand. But you're holding so tight to it that you do not want to let it go. Abraham is your example. He gave everything. Just reminds me of that verse that David said, that I will not give what costs me nothing. I will not give to the Lord an offering that costs me nothing. Abraham literally was about to give God his everything. Imagine waiting for his son for 100 years.
God did not say,
give me. And that is also a typology of the sacrifice of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because the Bible literally says that before the foundation of the earth, he was slain. Before God even knew that we're going to
kill him.
He already killed Jesus in his heart. Like, he already, not killed, he already gave Jesus up for us in his heart before we were even formed, before the earth was, like, that's deep.
Yeah. Something just came to my spirit where you mentioned this. I just saw how, like, it's always not easy for you to obey God, like, every instance. But I just saw that Abraham had this background of obeying God.
Yeah.
Like, the first time God called him, God told him, leave your country, leave your people, I will give you a blessing. There was something he had to let go. Like, I think at every point of his life, even the part where, like, God told him to change his name, God gave him instructions about, like, circumcising the people in his house.
Yeah.
So I feel like when he got to that part where God now asked him to
Isaac,
kill, he already had this background. Not that it wasn't hard,
but
he had already, he had already been someone that obeys God. And I think in our lives also, I feel like if you don't have, if you're not someone that, if you find it hard all the time to obey God in the small things, like, God might not even get to that point that big.
It's true. Jesus, that's deep. Wow. It's true. Like that verse says, he that's faithful in
little will be trusted with
much. It's true.
If you keep, like, disobeying, at the point, God will just wash his hand. God will just leave you.
Literally. And the Holy Spirit, we've already talked about this before, like, the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of, he will not force you.
He will not force you.
He will not impose anything on you. If you don't want to let it go, then it's fine.
It's
just
fine.
But just that, like, you will not get to experience the fullness of everything that is in God. Well, so do you have Abraham?
Yeah, I think I want us to dwell a bit more on that sacrifice thing.
Yeah.
Like, I just wondered how Isaac must have looked at him after.
Like, father.
So you're really gonna kill me?
Oh my God.
And it's how, like, there was this story I heard from someone, or this revelation I heard from someone, of how, like, God did not even tell him the mountain. He just said, go to the mountain that I would show you. God, Abraham, his life of obedience. So he just carried this. He didn't even know where he was going. So Sarah must have asked, where are you taking my son to? He's like, I'm just obeying God. And he kept going and going and going till he got to a place that God must have, like, laid it upon his heart to stop. And then he started stacking everything and just
told the servants, wait for
me.
Man, it's actually a really, it's such a beautiful story of obedience. It hurts because but it's also such a testament. And look at all the things that God did. There's no, I mean, literally, God said that you'll become a father of nations. Actually, that's something I actually learned this today, that Abraham now, his name before meant high father.
High father.
Yeah, like, and then Abraham means father of multitude. And so, like, God gave him a promise. God said that because you have done this, in blessings, I will bless you, and those that curse you are cursed, and there was actually, well, this one is a different part, when the Lord told him, I think God was trying to console him and told him, look at the stars in the sky, if you can count them, that's how many your multitude will be. Look at even Jesus came out of Abraham. There's literally nobody on earth that does not lay claim to Abraham. Christians, Muslims, whoever, people usually believe that Muslims are from the seed of Ishmael, and then we were from Isaac. Like, it's, there's no, so like, Abraham, look at what God did with a man who just simply chose to obey.
And I think another thing that's profound for me, I think the first time I read Abraham, like, it's how the first part, like, when they just mentioned him in the Bible, of how God told him, like, let go, leave your country and go to this place, I will bless you, I will, it just showed me how, like, for every blessing there is always something to sacrifice, let go, there's always something to sacrifice, there's always something to change. For our world today, it could be God giving you an instruction, telling you to keep up his consecration, it could tell you to leave your country, literally, he could tell you to leave your job, he could tell you to leave a friendship. But if you don't obey the instruction, there's no way his blessing will come upon you.
And the reason why God would even give you these instructions is because he wants to bless you. We're begging for blessings that the Lord has told you, I've already given it to you. Just let this go. Just do this. Like,
and they're just holding on to things, holding on. Not knowing that when we just let those things go, like,
the blessing is behind
that. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. And his life, I mean, of course, a life of obedience and a life of faith. There's no way in the New Testament that Abraham is spoken about that he is not spoken about his faith. He had such crazy faith. My God. You know, it's one thing it's almost track record. It's another thing to have faith in their promises. Like, to have faith in their word. Even I grew up in a home where my mom does not make empty promises. She makes sure. I remember one time my mom promised us that she was going to buy us a whole chicken. Like, whole chicken if we got first position in our classes or something like that. And she never bought us a whole chicken until like 2 or 3 years later.
Wow.
And she was like, remember I promised you that I was going to buy you a whole chicken? Whenever I think about it, I'm just like, it's actually true. The promises of God are not, it's not like humans. My mom is just human. But it's not like humans. He literally puts his trust in the promises of a God he had not seen. In the promises of a God who just, he just probably just stumbled upon. We never even know how he got to meet God. All we had in last part of 11 and beginning of 12 was Abraham, son of Terah, and this and this and this. And the next one, go. Literally. go out of where. So it was just, I just think it's so beautiful. Like, he believed, he not wavering in unbelief, but choosing to have faith in his promises. And if you have faith in his promises, then it would actually make it a bit easier to obey. It would make obedience a little bit easier. A lot has been said. Wow. The life of Abraham. So much has been said. I know that this episode has blessed you. So, good news. There's going to be a part 2.
Yay.
There's going to be a part 2. There's going to be a part 2 of the episode. And we really hope that you come back to listen.
Yeah.
Because part 2 is going to be so much higher.
Shy.
Kayanus. But you'll be really, really blessed. So do well to share this episode and anticipate part 2. It's going to be such a beautiful episode. God bless you.
Amen.
And have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Bye.